Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be with you right here on the afternoon drive. We have plenty to get into on the show today. A lot of local sports as we continue to recap the 2018-2019 basketball season. It came to an end over the weekend as the USU Eastern men and women squads fell short of the conference championship game, both losing on Friday night. Snow College turned out to be the winner on the men's side, and Salt Lake on the women's side. But today, more high school basketball. We're actually going to be joined over the phone by Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Spartans. Now that the dust is settled, they're back-to-back state champs. Coach Tuttle will join us to talk about this very special senior group and also who the program will rely heavily on next year. It's the top six players this year were seniors, so what does that look like next year for the Emory Lady Spartans? That's coming up on the show in just a bit. And we're on the eve of the start of the high school baseball season. We talked to head coach Jeff Cincinnaris last week of the Carbon Dinos. Today we're going to flip it. Second-year manager Rob Smith of Emory High School will join us on the show a little bit later as well. So again, plenty of local sports coming up, plus our recap. We'll go over everything that went down over the weekend. And let's take a look at the national sports headlines, and we will begin in the NBA. And we really can't say this is a surprise, but the rumors floating around the NBA right now, the Los Angeles Lakers will be looking for a new head coach. Right now, this team is three games under 500. And according to Mark Stein of the New York Times, it's not a good sign for Luke Walton. Quote, the prevailing assumption in the league coaching circles remains that Walton will almost certainly be dismissed after the season by the Lakers as they resume their trade quest for Anthony Davis. Now, the Lakers were involved heavily in discussions for Anthony Davis. Was it right? Was it wrong? Look, a lot of things get negotiated in the public today. That wasn't the Lakers doing. That was some loose lips around the team that, I guess, was feeding sources information, and that worked as a tremendous detriment to this Laker team. Now, I'm not against Luke Walton getting the axe. In fact, I'm fine with it. I think this team has performed miserably at the beginning of the season. I thought this was a top four team of the Western Conference. And in all fairness, they were until LeBron James got hurt on Christmas Day. That's when things went south for this team. And LeBron missed a month and a half of the season. And then Lonzo Ball, who is constantly criticized, is probably the best defensive point guard in the NBA. And since he's gone down, this team's defense has been dreadful. So injuries have played a factor. And if you listen to the show enough, you know I'm never the first to jump on and say this coach should be canned. You got to look at player development. And I think that Brandon Ingram has been okay. Kyle Kuzma, he's going to be a guy that's going to average 17 to 20 points a game in the league for years to come. And I like Lonzo Ball. Those are the three main pieces. And I do believe they've developed at a decent rate. Still, you go out, you spend a lot of money on LeBron James, you got to win right now. And this team should be in the playoffs. They should. They have a top eight roster in the Western Conference. There were some questions regarding the roster and free agency this offseason. I still believe the Lakers are fighting for home court if LeBron doesn't get hurt, if Lonzo Ball doesn't get hurt. A couple of big ifs. But nonetheless, Luke Walton will not be the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers next season. I just don't see it happening. Let's move on to the NFL. A representative for C.J. Mosley said that he has been told that the Baltimore Ravens will not use its franchise tag on him. So he will be an unrestricted free agent without a tag. And to me, that's a big deal. I'm a huge C.J. Mosley fan. I have been since his time at Alabama. Took a step back this year. Last season, he was dynamic for the Ravens. He's going to get paid in the offseason. I can guarantee you that. The Dallas Cowboys, they use their franchise tag. Unable to reach a long-term agreement with DeMarcus Lawrence, the Cowboys used the franchise tag designation for a second consecutive year. Unlike last year, the Cowboys are still working for an extension. That's what they're hoping to do before the July 15th deadline. By tagging Lawrence, the Cowboys have to pay him at least $20.5 million in 2019 if they cannot reach a deal on a contract. He made $17 million last season. Lawrence accepted the tag without any issues last year, and the Cowboys wanted him to repeat his Pro Bowl level of play. In 2017, he had 14.5 sacks. I don't know that, look, if you're in the NFL and the way everything is set up, you're probably not happy with getting the tag for the second consecutive year. You're going to get paid this season. But in the NFL, it's all guaranteed money long term. $20.5 million this season guaranteed. And past that, you're a free agent with no guaranteed money in the NFL. You suffer an injury this year, you're finished. That's why players are not too happy to get the franchise tag in consecutive years. You avoid injury 1 year. Okay, now it's time to get paid. Nope, you're going to have to try to avoid injury and not take a step back production-wise in year two of that franchise tag. Otherwise, you're going to cost yourself a lot of money. The Seattle Seahawks placed their franchise tag on offensive end Frank Clark today. He was the top pass rusher on the team, and now he's going to stay put through at least the next season. The Seahawks had until tomorrow to tag Clark to keep him from hitting free agency. Would have probably been one of the most coveted available players on the open market had they let him get to that point. I don't think that edge rush, we can overstate the value in the NFL. Okay, the two most prolific positions from a pay standpoint are without question the quarterback and a pass rush now. Look at Aaron Donald, look at Khalil Mack. It used to be quarterback and left tackle. That's not the case anymore. You have to have a pass rush in the NFL, and so the Seahawks are making sure they put their franchise tag to good use. That's a quick look at what's happening at the national sports front. Let's move to the NBA and take a look at the schedule today. We do have a full slate of games, and it begins at 5:30 p.m. The Brooklyn Nets will welcome in the Dallas Mavericks. Start time for this one at 5:30. Atlanta at Miami also at 5:30. We get the Denver Nuggets on the road against the San Antonio Spurs at 6:30, 7 o'clock hour, Milwaukee at Phoenix, and then right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the Utah Jazz will take on the New Orleans Pelicans. David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the live play-by-play call beginning at 6:50. 8 o'clock tonight, we get New York at Sacramento, and in the nightcap, the battle for Los Angeles, the Clippers, who are the better team in L.A., even though LeBron James is wearing a Laker uniform. That's insane, right? These two teams will go at it 8:30 p.m. tip-off there. The Lakers and their chances of making the playoffs, slim to none. They lose tonight, it may just be none. It's a quick look at what's happening at the national sports front. Again, local sports recap is coming up. Plus, Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Spartans will join us over the phone, and we'll catch up with Emory Spartan baseball manager Rob Smith. It's all straight ahead on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And the USU Eastern basketball season came to a close for both the men and women Friday night at the BDAC, as both suffered losses in the semifinals of the Scenic West Athletic Conference Championship Tournament. The men dropped a 73-62 loss to the Snow College Badgers, who went on to win the conference championship. The men trailed 33-31 at the end of the first half and held a six-point lead midway through the second half, but unfortunately could not hang on to the lead. Despite the loss, USU Eastern was led by freshman Blaze Nild. He scored 19 points, while sophomore Chase Berry chipped in with 11 and Steven Yermich scored 10. No USU Eastern player recorded a double-double in the setback. The loss brings what was a bag of mixed nuts season to an end for USU Eastern. Despite beating everyone in the conference during the regular season, USU Eastern finished fourth place overall with a record of 4-9 in conference action. The team did advance to the semifinals with a victory over Colorado Northwestern on Thursday. Now, sticking with USU Eastern, the season also came to an end for the women's squad Friday night as they battled tough but came up short in a semifinal loss to the Salt Lake Community College Bruins by a final score of 61-46. Tied at the end of the opening half, USU Eastern was outscored 15-11 by Salt Lake in the third quarter, and then the Bruins went on a 22-11 run to close out the game in the fourth. Despite the setback, USU Eastern received a solid effort from the entire team. Abby Butler and Ampere Atia both scored 9 points apiece in the setback, while Alyssa Kremley finished with 8, and Lamia Korich ended with 7. The USU Eastern Lady Eagles close out the year after a up-and-down conference season, which included the final record of 5-8. An overtime loss to CSI on the final game of the regular season prevented USU Eastern from getting a bye in the conference tournament. However, the team responded well by defeating Colorado on Thursday night, 95-60. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will recap the entire season for both the men and the women in the coming days. The Carbon High School girls swim team is receiving extra recognition from both Carbon County and Price City for their outstanding performance at the 3A state championship tournament last month. The Carbon Lady Dinos earned the first ever state title for the women's program earlier on in February with a dominating performance at the state championship meet. Last week, Price City Council members and Mayor Mike Corianis awarded both the Carbon High School swim squad and head coach Ellie Chamberlain with a certificate of congratulations. Coming up this Wednesday, Coach Chamberlain and the girls swim squad will receive recognition from Carbon County for what was an all-around fantastic 2018-2019 campaign. Saturday night, Fierce Fighting Championship, a local promotion, took the show on the road to Salt Lake City at the Utah State Fair Park for the championship finale of the Lightweight Grand Prix Tournament. The main event featured Bobby King and Nate Kersley, and Bobby King came away with a submission win in round number 3 to claim the Lightweight Grand Prix Championship. The event was sold out in person as several hundred spectators were turned away at the door. KOALITV.com brought the live broadcast to life, and you can go there anytime and watch it on demand. That's at KOALITV.com. We'll catch up with owner Cody Bunderson in the coming days to recap another very successful MMA event. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We have a lot of local sports we got to get into today. We got to talk more baseball because baseball season actually opens up tomorrow, as does soccer season as well. No time in between the winter and spring sports seasons. We move out of one, move right into the next. But before we do that, we got to continue to wrap up the basketball season. Last week, we caught up with Coach Todd Jeffs and Coach Kyle Wilson of the Emory Spartans. And today, we're going to continue on with Emory. Joining us right now over the phone, we have head coach Lynn Tuttle, coach of the back-to-back state champion Emory Lady Spartans. And coach, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan.
Definitely, coach. Now that the dust has kind of settled, and I know you guys got the big welcoming home from the community and you're back-to-back state champions, coach, I guess, is it sunk in? I mean, did it sink in that night at the state championship tournament, or did it take a couple of days?
Yeah, it did that night. It's unbelievable. Certainly a good feeling. That night was awesome. Like you mentioned, we come back in and you get the escort starting at the county line, and that's an experience that if you've ever experienced that, you never forget it. So a special moment for the girls, and it's extremely good to do it back to back.
Yeah, Coach, we'll talk about the seniors here in just a moment, but one of the things that I think is so unique about this team is you go to the state tournament. Every girl got to play, and every girl at some point in time played quality minutes, got to play some big minutes because of the domination from that varsity group. And so when you congratulate an entire team, I mean, it's a rare occurrence where every single girl got to play in pretty much every game that you guys played at the state tournament.
Yeah, it was a good deal for the young girls. Hopefully it does them good for the future. I'd certainly like to be back in that situation in the next couple of years and getting that experience in that atmosphere, playoff game, and even a championship game. It's different than regular season. So hopefully the younger girls benefit from it. And, yeah, excellent job for the first 5, 6, 7, 8 girls to go out and do it so they were able to get the time on the floor.
Coach, we were looking over the final statistics of the season and going over some of the games, and I can't think of another word to describe what these girls accomplished at the state tournament outside of domination. It's one thing to go in as the heavy favorite, but it's another to take care of business like you're a heavy favorite, and there was no game where there was any doubt. I'm sure from a coach's standpoint, that's nice, not a lot of stressful moments, but at the same time, it's a true testament to this girls' team that really could have won every game by 30-plus.
Yeah, for sure, Jordan. They showed up to play the week leading up to it, practice, and just the things we was going through. It was encouraging to see the atmosphere, or the attitude of the girls. And we could just tell they was ready. But, yeah, to go out all three games, the first two they took care of business in three quarters, and they all rested the fourth, and then that state championship to come out and play as well as they did right from the get-go, and kind of bury Grantsville early. It was encouraging to see. And you're right, as a coach's standpoint, very comfortable being in that position.
And the media members that I talked to, Coach, at the beginning of the season, had multiple media members tell me, well, we're playing for second this year. Of course, you never ask a coach that question. If that's the way that you approach the season, you're never going to ask a player that question. But going into it, Coach, this season, I mean, I'm assuming in your mind there was no doubt that this team should be back-to-back state champions, right? I mean, I just don't know how you would approach that as a coach and trying to relate to the kids. Like, even though you deserve, you should be there, you don't deserve to be there. You got to earn it.
Right. You know, it's from the get-go, pressure was on, and we certainly believe we could do it again. But like I kept telling the girls throughout the season, we're just going to take one game at a time, take care of that game, then move on to the next. But sometimes when you're a favorite like that, ranked number one throughout the season, you usually get the better game. The teams that are able to compete with you, it kind of puts a big target on your chest. And having the pressure like that, the girls responded well all season. Very, very few times did they play down to the competition we were playing against, and most times exceeded what I thought they could actually do.
Really the only game throughout the year where an opposing team could look at this squad and say, okay, they're vulnerable in this particular regard, I guess would have been the Beaver game at the beginning of the season. I mean, outside of that, Coach, you guys really handled your business. When you think back to that game, what was so different in that contest compared to the other 24 games of the season?
Well, against Beaver, they kind of have our number. They've done the same to us last year. But it certainly wasn't one of our better played games. And you can credit Coach Marshall for that. He comes in with a game plan, likes to slow it down, and obviously we like the tempo to be, you know, fast up and down. But they did a good job slowing it down on us. And then when they pack it in on Megan, our inside game like that, obviously you've got to hit something from outside. And just that particular night, we struggled from both areas. So, but it was good to see, you know, third quarter and fourth quarter, there was times it was a one-point game, and good to see how the girls responded, and when they needed it most, they came through.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Coach, the only other game where this team trailed at halftime was against North Summit, I believe, right?
Correct, yes. North Summit, they're an excellent ball club. Same thing with Coach Holmes. He comes in with a game plan, and he's able to take away your strength at times. But I had a few other girls step up during that game, and we got past them.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Spartans. Coach, we talk about really never trailing at halftime. State championship game, everything seems to just be firing on all cylinders. Defensively, the girls were on point in that game against Grantsville in the state title. How do you try to calm the excitement of knowing that you're only two quarters away from winning a state championship? Is that something that you had to do in the locker room?
No, we never. Went in during halftime with a comfortable lead, and defensively, we were on point. We only allowed, I believe, it was 14 points in the first half. So some of the discussion was there was if you just continue up defense like you're doing and go out and play offense like you're capable of, we'll be fine. But there was no celebrating early in halftime. We was just taking care of business as usual, trying to make a few adjustments and go back out and play hard.
Coach, we'll talk about the seniors on this year's team. It is a special group of girls. You and I have talked a lot about Megan Jensen and Kinley and Caitlin Toomer and their dominance. And, of course, these are three girls that will be moving on. But three of the other seniors that don't get as much pub, that deserve it. Ambry Bennett, Morgan Herdsman, and Bailey Huggard. I mean, it's just a special group of seniors all the way around.
Yeah, for sure. You talk about that Beaver game. In that game, when we was kind of struggling offensively, Ambry Bennett, she come off the bench and she hit two pivotal threes kind of back-to-back within a minute span, and that kind of jump-started us, and we slowly got the offense going. And then the North Summit game, Coach Holmes was packing it in. During halftime, we had a discussion, someone's got to step up and make some shots because they're not going to allow us to beat them up in the paint. And Morgan Herdsman went out in the fourth, well, in the second half, and put up 4 3-pointers. So them two girls, they've done their jobs very well. And then as far as Bailey, I think she had an excellent tournament down there. She does the dirty work most of the time, very unselfish, and she's definitely a great asset to our team.
Hey, Coach, over the last, we could even go back to 3 years, because, again, you guys have gone to three consecutive state championship games, and there are obviously girls coming off of the bench, Morgan being a junior, would have started, I think, for any other team in the 3A classification. Did you ever run into any ego issues with this team over the last 3 years?
Never did. That's what's so amazing about this group of girls. Everyone accepted the role that they were supposed to take on, and I never had any problems with any of them.
I'd hate to use the word easy, but does it make it easy? Has it been easy for you as a head coach? Because I just can't see any flaws.
Yeah, you can use that word. It was easy for me.
Well, Coach, looking ahead again, this is a team that's won 40 consecutive games, again, back-to-back state championships. The girls coming back next year, maybe a little bit underexperienced, but at the same time, they've got to learn an awful lot. And so what are the expectations, and what are some of the things that you saw from the underclassmen this year that leads you to believe that next season will be successful as well?
Well, the one thing, the advantage they had is every day in practice they went against that first crew. So, I mean, coming in after tryouts and then starting on the floor, you could definitely see them younger girls developing and getting a little more confidence and actually their skills, sharpening their skills. So looking into the next year, next after that, not expecting to be as dominant as this first crew we had this year, the seniors, but they're definitely going to be competitive. They've learned the way to win, and I think once you get a program doing that, they'll work hard. We'll definitely put in the time, and hopefully we're real competitive next year.
You just mentioned it. They've learned to win, and, Coach, that's a term that I'm sure many hear in sports often, but it's factual. I mean, you have to learn how to win, and obviously these girls coming up have had some they've had some good teachers in that regard, some good girls to look up to.
For sure. Best examples they could have had.
Coach, what does the offseason look like for this team? When do you guys actually get going, and when do you start working with these underclassmen?
Well, it gets tough now. Some of the girls, they go their different ways. Some play softball. Many of them do track. But the ones that aren't doing anything, we'll have a couple week layoff, and we'll try to get in the weight room and do some plyometric drills and stuff for jumping, and try to get them a little quicker on their feet. And then summer will hit, and we'll attend some camps, some team camps, and try to get some ball under our belt through the summer.
I'm definitely looking forward to it, Coach, when we start talking again. I know the classification, the regions are going to look a little bit different next year as well. I'm not sure that that's any, you know, if that's anything that you've looked at, but it's kind of a revolving door. Every 2 years, it seems like we get a couple of new squads in. Next year, Carbon, Grand, Richfield, San Juan, South Sevier. So, for the most part, teams that we all are familiar with.
Yes, correct. I think next year we lose North Santee and Manti, but we pick up Carbon. So, I kind of like that region.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Coach, it's been a pleasure all year long to talk with you and follow the girls. And, of course, we had a lot of fun at the state championship tournament once again. I'm always grateful for you taking out the time. Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to doing it again real soon.
Me too. Thanks a bunch, Jordan.
Again, that's Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Spartans, back-to-back champions. It's been a little over a week since the Lady Spartans conquered that accomplishment. We have to pause for just a moment. Quick commercial break up and coming, but we will stick with Emory High School Athletics. Coach Rob Smith of the baseball team will join us. Emory's baseball squad may play tomorrow. We'll talk about that with Coach Smith, who will join us in studio when we return. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, we are live from the Auto Forum Studios.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
It is high school baseball season. We started that talk last week as Coach Jeff Cincinnatus joined us in the studio to go over Carbon High School, their offseason, and the upcoming schedule. We'll continue that today. We're going to talk Emory High School baseball. The Spartans, well, they're supposed to start the season tomorrow. That's a little bit up in the air. They would travel on the road to meet South Sevier. They'd start Region 15 play right out of the gate. Joining us to talk about that, the offseason and this year's teams, we have Coach Rob Smith. Coach, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, Jordan.
Absolutely. We're getting set for year number two. Are you excited to get back out there on the baseball field, especially after your first year is now under your belt?
Yeah. It's been a slow winter. Kind of with, yeah. Even still with the snow still coming. But, yeah, it'll be good to get out there.
Year number two, I want to go back and talk about year one. There were definitely some positives for this team. With you taking over the program, what were some of the things that you learned from that first year that you're looking to bring over into year two?
I learned a lot about teaching the kids the difference between the college level and the high school level. Things you can say and can't say. And that's going to be the biggest thing. And then just teaching more at their level, coaching more at their level.
Like I said, there were some positives, and I like the group you have coming back, especially from a senior standpoint. You and I were talking about a few of them off of the cuff. Kyson Stilson, a familiar name from basketball, Ranch Jensen, Cade Brazier. Any other seniors that you have coming back on this year's team?
Coda Alton, he's coming back. He'll be strong for us. Kyson Stilson, Logan Healy coming back throwing. So we got a big class of seniors that could help us out a ton.
I know that it's difficult because we haven't really been able to get outside and play. You guys have been at a gym, I believe, right, for most of the winter. But how have the seniors grown? I mean, what are some of the improvements that you've seen?
A little bit of dedication level. We had a talk the first day of practice after tryouts about won't. And you won't get to hang out with your buddies. You won't get to play baseball in high school again. And I think that really opened their eyes on, you know, this is our last year. Let's go out and make the best of it.
As far as the pitching rotation goes, your pitching staff this year, you were just talking about throwers a moment ago. Do you like what you have there as far as a depth perspective?
Yeah, really, we only lost one pitcher. One of our better pitchers in Easton that threw for us last year. But other than that, we're returning all of our pitchers. So happy with our rotation there.
Offensively, who are some of the kids that this team's going to have to rely on? Because you guys did lose some bats.
Kyson Stilson and Coda Alton are going to have to step up. They're going to have to be our RBI guys. Jesse Barnett, which they're very capable of doing.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, Jesse's a kid that we had the pleasure of following in football over the fall sports season. And so, yeah, these are some well-established athletes that know how to win. There's no question there.
Yeah, definitely. They... basketball, football, whatever they do, they're always competitive. Like I said, they know how to win, and they are very capable of doing it in the baseball field as well.
Again, starting year two for you, obviously you got to develop some of the younger guys to fit your system and kind of the way that you want to run things. How do the underclassmen look right now? I mean, what class are you looking at and saying, okay, this is definitely a group that if we continue to develop, we're going to be solid? Does a freshman, sophomore, junior class stand out to you right now?
From what I've seen, the freshman class do stand out the most. Mm-hmm. We're really small in numbers in our junior and sophomore class. We had a lot of freshmen come out. So, yeah, kind of from what I've seen so far is the freshman class are going to be the next upcoming, and I'm not saying that the juniors and sophomores aren't, but they're together going to be a good team.
I saw you a lot during the basketball season. You had the boys working hard as well. I mean, you were definitely pushing them, and you did a lot of fundraising as well. You were talking about making that transition from college to high school. That's where you're most familiar, is at that college level. Is that any different? I mean, having to get out there and fundraise and push in the off season?
I didn't do much of it at the college level, but it seems like it's a never-ending process. our sponsors are what makes it happen, so we appreciate all they do for us.
Yeah, it's I guess people kind of have the idea that maybe baseball is just a 4-month job. That's not the case. I mean, you got to work year round.
Yep. I mean, we start in November and fundraise and open gyms and go from there.
Open gyms during the time of other sports seasons, I mean, that's got to be difficult because you do have a lot of, anytime you're a 3A, 2A, 1A school, you do have a lot of kids that play multiple sports. And I'm sure as a coach, you want that, right? You don't want your kids just specializing in one sport. I'm sure you would like the fact that they play multiple sports.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of college coaches point on it. You know, multiple sport athletes are better athletes in general. I truly believe that. So open gyms, the kids that show up, and if not, it's understandable. They've got other commitments at that time. So,
again, we're being joined right now by manager Rob Smith of the Emory High School baseball squad. Coach, let's talk about the schedule. I know that tomorrow's game against South Sevier is still kind of a little bit up in the night. It was originally scheduled to be a home game. We know that's not going to be the case. If you guys play this, you got to travel on the road. And it would be a region game right out of the gate. I mean, there's no tune-ups. You would play a game that counts right off the bat.
Yeah, that's tough. I've kind of been hoping it would get rained out from the start. we haven't even seen the grass yet. Haven't been out on the field. So jumping right into a region game would be a little rough. So hopefully we can get it in. But if not, I'm not going to be too brokenhearted just because we go to Mesquite this weekend, so we can at least get our feet wet, see where we stand, and go from there.
Yeah, that's a pretty entertaining tournament as well. I know last year you won the tournament, if I remember correctly, right?
Correct.
You beat San Juan in the championship of that tournament. And so going back to Mesquite, you guys are going to see some pretty heavy competition. What is it, 4 games in 3 days, right?
Correct. And we open up with Alta. They're a 5A school, up-and-coming program. Then we play Valley out of Las Vegas and then Virgin Valley out of Mesquite. And they're always a decent team, well-coached. They were definitely one of our tougher games down there last year. But yeah, a chance to three-peat down there for that tournament, and hopefully we can.
I do like the schedule. A lot of interesting dates. Of course, everybody always wants to see when Emory plays Carbon. You guys get Carbon at home this year. I believe you only played one time last year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
it was at
just
Carbon.
One time.
Yeah.
Yep. Just once again this year. During the regular season.
And be in the middle of April, you guys will get Carbon at home. But another matchup that I'm really, really anxious to get to, and I'm sure the kids are as well, you guys have an opportunity to play on a big league ball field. Smith's Ballpark, March 27th, you guys will go up against an Idaho team, and it's kind of unique the way that was put together. You have ties with the Idaho team that you guys will be playing.
Correct. So we play Bear Lake up at the B Stadium. It's where I went to high school. My high school coach still coaches there. We always talked about giving back to the program, so I figured this is a way I could give back to Bear Lake Baseball by being able to let them come play us at a big league field. Great opportunity for memories.
Kids have got to be excited about that.
They are. Like I said, we had to do some fundraising for it, which they weren't too excited about, but the end result is what we get to do. So.
Well, let's look at the region this year, Coach. South Sevier and Grand and North San Pete. We know Richfield's going to be good. Manti as well. It's a tough region. I mean, it really is front to back.
Yeah, this region's always tough. Any sport.
Right.
Basketball, I mean, all semifinals team except one were from this region. Same with baseball. It's always a tough region. Richfield's going to be good. They're the team to beat this year. In our region, so
they definitely have some studs. I mean, we got to look at that on the basketball court as well. Once you get past Richfield, where do you see Emory? And I know preseason's tough, but where do you see this squad fitting in? I mean, obviously a region championship is the first goal, right? I mean, everybody sets that goal, but looking at it, I mean, where does this team sit in your eyes?
I think we have a shot for the region championship. Take care of business when we need to, and if we can split with Richfield home and away. I don't see a reason why we couldn't be first or second in the region come state.
I think it's a simplistic way of looking at it, but it's true. Protect home field, steal a couple on the road, and you're right there.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, it's really that simple. Coach, again, Mesquite, we know that that's a go this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And again, with you guys really not getting a lot of time outside, what are some of the things that you'll be looking for as a coach over the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 games out of the year?
Just how we gel together, what we can do to gel stronger if we need to. getting kids in the right position and moving forward. Big thing we're pushing this year is one pitch at a time and see who does that best. Play the game one pitch at a time and move forward.
It's not like basketball where you get 2 months of preseason. I mean, they really cram a lot of baseball in a very short period of time. It's just over 2 months, and that's barring any weather delays as well, you know, weather cancellations. And so the Mesquite tournament's really your guys' only chance to kind of bond, I guess, together as a team, getting out on the road, spending time together, which is big.
Yeah, it's huge. Mesquite's a fun tournament. We're going to stay at a nice resort. There's lots of stuff to do. I felt like that's where we came together as a team last year. Hopefully we do again this year. Like you said, it's crammed quick. We got 3 games a week pretty much. This first week, if we end up playing tomorrow, that's 5 games in 1 week. So it'll be a little rough if we do play. And if not, it's still 4 in 3 days. So.
Yeah, definitely. Before I let you go, Coach, I want to talk about the staff, who you have working with you in the dugout this year.
So on the varsity side, we got me and then Cody Jensen. On the freshman JV side, we've got Ryan Johansson and Jay Stiltson. Ryan and Jay helped last year. Cody's new this year, replacing Dean. Big shoes to fill there for him. Dean did a lot with our pitchers. But Cody knows the game well, and I'm excited to have him on board with us this year.
I'm excited for the baseball season. Again, it may begin tomorrow as Emory would travel on the road to take on South Sevier. If that game is called, it would mean a start this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Mesquite. Coach, I appreciate you stopping by. I'm looking forward to many more conversations over the next couple of months.
All right, thanks, Jordan.
Again, that's Coach Rob Smith of the Emory High School baseball team. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back, move over to the national scene when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Last segment on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll close it out by talking some NFL. Tomorrow on the show, we are going to be joined by former New Orleans Saint and Cleveland Brown scout Matt Manishirian. And I'm looking forward to this conversation because, of course, we had the combine over the weekend and people really get into the combine, and rightfully so. But there are some news and notes coming out of it. And I guess the question is, should we believe the reports that the Arizona Cardinals are going to go with Kyler Murray number one in the draft? And I will tell you right now, yes, we absolutely should believe it. And I think there's a great chance that it happens. Last week on the show, I said if he gets past Arizona, I believe that Murray would drop all the way to Miami at 13. Still a top 15 pick. But there's a reason why Murray has decided to go to the NFL. And immediately, upon making that announcement that he wasn't going to play baseball, he was passing up the guaranteed money from the Oakland A's. He was going to go play football. And with Cliff Kingsbury getting the job in Arizona, there was instantly talk of Murray going number one because of the infatuation that Kingsbury has with him. And I'm going to, again, go back to a conversation that we had last week. Miami needs a quarterback. We know that Jacksonville needs one, and it looks like they're going to grab Nick Foles. The New York Giants, to me, I think they want Haskins. I think they've been zeroed in on this guy for a while. Does it make more sense for Murray to play with Kingsbury in Arizona or Flores in Miami? And to me, it's a no-brainer. His size, his skill set fits the air attack, the air raid that we are going to see, or at least what Kingsbury wants to see in Arizona. And now the rumors come out today that a trade evaluation of Josh Rosen, first-round pick for the Cardinals last year, is that he would be worth a third-round pick. And I could see multiple teams giving up a third-round pick for Josh Rosen. To me, I honestly believe that this is going to happen. I believe that Murray will be the number one pick. You know the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire? The rumors of Kingsbury drafting this kid number one didn't just come out of nowhere. And if you're having a hard time believing that Arizona would go that route, how many really thought that Cleveland would take Baker Mayfield number one last year? What I'm saying is, where there's smoke, there's fire. Now, I'm going to tell you another team that I think would almost certainly go with Kyler Murray if he was available, and that's the Oakland Raiders. All reports coming out of the combine, there are two teams that love Murray, two teams that logistically could work out a way to bring him in. Arizona, obviously, they hold the keys to the draft at number one, but also the Oakland Raiders. And it makes sense to me. The Raiders are not going to continue on the path that they're the current path with this team. They have too many assets, and where they're picking out right now, you have a golden opportunity to develop a pass rush. But if John Gruden, who has developed the quarterback guru type moniker, if he believes in Kyler Murray and he's there, I think he would go with it. And maybe the Raiders have a plan for Derek Carr. I don't know. But with the amount of guaranteed money, you know what? Yeah, it doesn't seem that far-fetched. A lot of questions on if you truly believe they're shopping him. And I don't know if they're shopping him. But you really never know what's happening on the inside, right? You bring in a new general manager, someone that's a head of football operations, and Mike Mayock. To me, the Raiders are going to nail the draft. You have Gruden and you have Mayock. I'll put my money on these two guys going into the NFL draft. But when you're looking at building from the ground up, John Gruden wasn't looking to trade Khalil Mack last season. You know he wasn't looking to trade Amari Cooper last season. I don't know who the Raiders quarterback is going to be in 2019. But while bringing up the Raiders, I will say this. It's just fun to talk about the Raiders because Kyler Murray's not going to be on the board. I'm telling you right now, this kid will go number one. He's going to go to the Arizona Cardinals. He's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, and we are going to have a lot of fun talking about this tomorrow on Football Tuesday. But even if John Gruden is sold on Kyler Murray, and let's say he loves Dwayne Haskins, I think the Derek Carr trade rumors and the Derek Carr future in Oakland / Las Vegas, it's a legitimate conversation to have. And it's really not the only trade scenario or trade talk that can be associated with the Raiders, because if the reports are true, and I believe they are true, that the Pittsburgh Steelers are looking for a first-round pick in order to move Antonio Brown, the Raiders are still that team. The Raiders and the Colts, to me, are still that team. Maybe you could throw the Jets in. The Jets aren't giving up a first-round pick for Antonio Brown. To me, it's the Raiders and it's the Colts. And again, we'll have plenty of time to talk about this on the show tomorrow. Wish I had a little bit more time because I don't want to just scrunch all these topics together. But if you didn't watch the NFL scouting combine, we will talk about this again tomorrow. DK Metcalf. This kid was pretty spectacular. You want to talk about someone helping their draft stock? DK Metcalf was definitely that kid over the weekend. To me, he was the biggest winner. Kind of owned the combine. Put up 225 pounds 27 times, ran a 4.33 40, and there's no doubt he's going to be the first wide receiver off the board. And so those were my two big takeaways from the weekend combine. Kyler Murray will go number one, and there's going to be a lot of talk. Is it the Cardinals? Do they trade down? Is it going to be the Raiders maybe moving up? Those are the two teams that seem infatuated with him at the moment. And DK Metcalf is going to be the first wide receiver off of the board. Those are two locks in my mind in the upcoming NFL draft. Tomorrow, again, it's NFL Football Tuesday here on the show. We will talk to a former scout for both the Browns and the Saints. I'm looking forward to that conversation. As always, it's great to be along with you on the afternoon drive. I want to thank Coach Lynn Tuttle and also Coach Rob Smith for taking out the time to join us to talk Emory High School athletics. We'll have more local sports on the show tomorrow. Have a terrific day. Be safe. I am out.